Welcome, dear listeners, to another spine-chilling episode, and hopefully sleep-inducing episode to the podcast. Did you hear that? Tonight, we delve into the dark recesses of the human psyche, exploring a series that has terrified and enthralled gamers for decades. Brace yourself for a journey into the world of Clock Tower, where fear lurks around every corner and survival hangs by a thread. Clock Tower, a name that sends shivers down the spines of those who dare to enter its haunted halls. This iconic video game series has etched its place into the annals of horror gaming, where psychological terror and unrelenting suspense reign supreme. From its humble beginnings on the Super Famicom to its gripping tales on modern consoles, Clock Tower has become a beacon for fans seeking an experience that will make their hearts race and pulses quicken. In Clock Tower, you'll find yourself thrust into a world of nightmare-inducing scenarios, where young protagonists find themselves trapped in nightmarish locations, stalked by an insidious figure known as the Scissor Man. Armed with his giant shears, the Scissor Man embodies the relentless pursuit of fear, haunting your every move and leaving you with a sense of vulnerability that is all too real. Survival is not guaranteed in the world of Clock Tower. Combat is a luxury rarely granted, forcing players to rely on their wits, stealth, and resourcefulness to outsmart their pursuer and uncover the chilling secrets that lie within these cursed spaces. The choices you make will shape your destiny, determining whether you'll emerge from the darkness unscathed or fall victim to the Scissor Man's wrath. As you explore eerie mansions, forsaken towns, and unsettling environments, you'll be immersed in an atmosphere that drips with palpable dread. The haunting melodies and ambient soundscapes will send shivers down your spine, while the ever-present ticking of the clock reminds you that time is running out. Join us as we unravel the twisted tales of Clock Tower, discussing its impact on the horror gaming genre, and exploring the deep psychological undercurrents that make it a truly unforgettable experience. Prepare yourself for an exploration of fear, survival, and the indomitable spirit of those who dare to face the Scissor Man. Welcome. Did you hear that, dear listeners? Let the nightmare begin. Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to episode... Shoot, what was the episode? Again? Oh. All right. Four. Episode four. Ah, lucky number four. Did you know that's actually considered an unlucky number here in Asia? I noticed that a lot of apartments either on the fourth floor or have the number four in their apartment number, like a apartment, you know, suite number, tend to get rented out last or are cheaper than other places because a lot of renters are less willing to move into what they might consider an unlucky apartment. I mean, I personally don't believe in it, and a growing number of people don't, but it's still common enough around here. Taiwan is a particularly superstitious country, so, you know, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. You know, there's we have an entire month dedicated to ghosts, which is another fascinating topic that I will definitely have to add on the ever-growing list of topics that I would love to cover for this weekly podcast that I'm doing for my patrons, which brings me to my thanking you for being a patron. As you know, the this podcast is only available to the $5 and up patrons. Thank you, thank you, thank you for, you know, you guys, your donations and your subscriptions make it possible for me to do stuff like this, and I am ever so grateful that I am able to do something fun, you know, and make a living out of it. It's amazing. I still can't believe it. And I still can't believe that I've only been doing this since the end of February. Wow. Like, what is that? Like 3 months and some days? Thank you again. I appreciate each and every one of you. Also, pollen season is upon us. And if you hear me sniffling, I will try my best to edit out as much as I can, but there will be times when I just won't. Also, this is a very long podcast. It's going to be like an hour long. So, buckle up, buckaroos. You're in for a journey. Okay, so anyways, let's dive into the topic for the episode, which is, yes, the Clock Tower series. Which is, oh man, this is old. This series is probably older than the majority of my patrons. So that's fun, right? Alright? Ha ha ha. Alright, so when you want to talk about a game, obviously you want to take it back, all the way back, to the origins, right? The Clock Tower series had its humble beginnings on the Super Famicom, a Japanese video game console released by Nintendo in 1990. The first game in the series, simply titled Clock Tower, was developed by Human Entertainment. That is the name of the company, Human Entertainment. Just so we get that out of the way. And was released in 1995. The game on the Super Famicom introduced players to the unique and terrifying gameplay that would define the series. It follows the story of Jennifer Simpson, a young orphan who finds herself trapped in the ominous Clock Tower Mansion, along with several other girls. Throughout the game, players had to guide Jennifer through the mansion, solving puzzles and evading the relentless pursuit of the Scissor Man, a disfigured and murderous antagonist armed with a giant pair of scissors. Not gonna lie, that's fucking terrifying. Just saying that right now. What set Clock Tower apart from other horror games of its time was its emphasis on vulnerability and helplessness. Unlike many games in the genre that featured combat mechanics, looking at you, Resident Evil 5 and 6, and 4, 2, and 3, but okay. I'm done doing shade for now. Clock Tower required players to rely on stealth and clever thinking to survive. This created a sense of tension and dread, as players had to constantly evade the Scissor Man while exploring the mansion and uncovering its secrets. Clock Tower on the Super Famicom achieved critical acclaim in Japan for its atmospheric graphics, chilling sound design, and innovative gameplay mechanics. Its success led to the development of several sequels and spin-offs, and the series expanded its reach to other gaming platforms. Spoiler alert, it kind of peaked early on. Anyways, moving on. One notable entry in the series is Clock Tower 2, known as Clock Tower: The First Fear in Japan, which was released for the PlayStation in 1996. Clock Tower 2 further refined the formula established by its predecessors. sorry. That is my cat. She refuses to let us clip her nails, so she hurts herself when she scratches herself. We're gonna take her to a vet this weekend. Anyways, alright, so... Clock Tower 2 further refined the formula established by its predecessor, introducing new characters and settings while maintaining the core gameplay mechanics. It continued to emphasize survival and psychological horror as players navigated through haunted locations and faced off against different iterations of the Scissor Man. The Clock Tower series continued to evolve with subsequent installments such as Clock Tower Ghost Head, also known as Clock Tower, The Struggle Within, in some regions, released for the PlayStation in 1998. This entry took a more psychological approach, delving deeper into the minds of the characters and exploring themes of identity and personal demons. Clock Tower 3, released for the PS2 in 2002, marked a departure from the traditional gameplay mechanics of the series. It introduced a new protagonist, Alyssa Hamilton, who had to confront supernatural enemies using a combination of stealth and an ancient weapon called the Athena. While Clock Tower 3 received mixed reviews, it demonstrated the series' willingness to experiment with gameplay mechanics while maintaining its core elements of fear and survival. Beyond the PlayStation era, the Clock Tower series also saw an entry on the Nintendo GameCube with Haunting Ground, known as Demento in Japan in 2005. While not a direct part of the Clock Tower series, Haunting Ground shared similar gameplay elements and was developed by Capcom, who had acquired the rights to the Clock Tower franchise. Guess how they did that? Anyways, Haunting Ground follows the story of Fiona Belly, who found herself trapped in a castle and pursued by enemies while accompanied by a loyal canine companion, whom you basically have to, like, bribe to like you. Like, from what I recall at the beginning of the game, that dog don't give two shits about you. Anyways, okay, so, Human Entertainment, which was the creator of the Clock Tower series, faced financial difficulties and eventually went bankrupt in 2000. After the closure of the company, the rights of the Clock Tower series was acquired by Sunsoft, another Japanese video game company. Sunsoft released the successor to Clock Tower titled Haunting Ground. Remember the Fiona Belly one by Capcom? Yeah, that's this. Although not a direct part of the Clock Tower series, it shared similar gameplay mechanics and was directed by Hifumi Kono, who was also a part of Human Entertainment before it, blew up, literally. Not literally, I mean, I can't say that now after what happened at Kyoto Entertainment, but figuratively speaking. since then, Clock Tower series has remained dormant with no new mainline entries. However, the influence of the franchise can still be seen in various horror games today, and its legacy as a pioneer of the survival horror genre continues to be recognized. So, let's do a deep dive into these various bullet points that I've outlined in a document that you cannot see. So, what makes the Clock Tower series a standout among the plethora of psychological horror games that have emerged from the Land of the Rising Sun? And by Land of the Rising Sun, I mean Japan. The first thing is helplessness and vulnerability. Clock Tower stood out by emphasizing the helplessness and vulnerability of the player character. Unlike many other horror games that armed players with weapons or combat abilities, looking at you, Resident Evil, Clock Tower took a different approach. Players were defenseless against the Scissor Man and had no means to directly confront or defeat him. This created a sense of constant danger and a heightened feeling of vulnerability, forcing players to rely on their wits and resourcefulness to survive. Number 2. Pursuer AI and randomized events. The AI system of the Scissor Man The relentless, boy do I mean relentless, antagonist in Clock Tower was designed to be both dynamic and unpredictable. The Scissor Man could appear in various locations at different times and with different attack patterns, making each playthrough unique. This randomization added replay value and increased the tension, as players could never be certain when or where the Scissor Man would strike next. Next interesting thing about the game that a lot of other games did not have at that time, which is multiple endings and consequences. Silent Hill will later do this, but this was before Silent Hill. Okay, so Clock Tower incorporated a branching narrative structure that offered multiple endings based on the choices made by the player. These choices not only affected the outcome of the story, but also determined the survival or demise of the protagonists and other characters. The consequences of these choices were often permanent. Oh god, I'm like Nanny Ogg from the Discworld series. She never knew how to stop spelling banana, so it would be like banana na daiquiris. She loved banana na daiquiris. Anyways, the consequences of these choices were often permanent. Yes, we said that. Adding a sense of weight and impact to the player's decisions. This feature encouraged replayability as players sought different paths and endings to uncover the full breadth of the game's narrative. The next point is stealth and hide and seek gameplay. Unlike traditional horror games that encouraged combat or direct confrontation, not going to mention the obvious anymore, Clock Tower focused on stealth and hide-and-seek gameplay. Players had to navigate the environment, hide in closets, under beds, or behind objects to avoid the Scissor Man's detection. The game emphasized the importance of remaining quiet and out of sight, heightening the tension as players desperately tried to evade their pursuer. This stealth-centric approach added a strategic element to the gameplay and required players to think on their feet. The last one is puzzle solving and... Well, no, it's not the last one. Second last one, sorry. puzzle solving and exploration. Clock Tower featured intricate puzzles that were seamlessly integrated into the game's narrative and environments. Players had to explore their surroundings, investigate objects, and collect items to progress. These puzzles ranged from simple item combinations to complex riddles, requiring players to think critically and use their observational skills to uncover solutions. The inclusion of puzzles added depth to the gameplay and enhanced the immersion by making players actively engage with the game world. And the last point that I want to touch on is atmospheric sound design and visuals, which, obviously it's not going to be that crazy, especially since the first game was on the Super Famicom. But they did what they could with what they had, and it was great. So, the Clock Tower excelled at creating an eerie and atmospheric experience through its sound design and visuals. The games employed haunting melodies, which you will hear. Please don't copyright strike me this. Ambient sounds and chilling audio cues to build tension and evoke a sense of dread. The visual design, including detailed environments, eerie lighting, and atmospheric effects, further contributed to the game's unsettling atmosphere. These elements worked together to immerse players in a world of psychological horror and enhance the overall experience. So, the Clock Tower's unique combination of helplessness, the dynamic pursuer AI, branching narratives, stealth-based gameplay, puzzle solving, and the immersive audio-visual design set it apart from other horror games of that time. The series' focus on psychological terror, vulnerability, and strategic survival created a distinct and memorable gameplay experience for horror enthusiasts. So now, let's talk about the various installments of the series and how they contributed to furthering the incredibly deep lore and story of the series. So I'm just going to touch on like a little bit of each game. And, you know, because I think I already touched upon it previously, but let's go through it again. Just in case your memory is really bad, or maybe you're already asleep by now, who the fuck knows, right? The first game, remember, it came out on the Super Famicom, 95. The original Clock Tower games on the Super Famicom introduced players to the terrifying world of the series. It established the core gameplay mechanics of stealth, evasion, and puzzle solving, while emphasizing the vulnerability of the protagonist. Clock Tower's success laid the foundation for future installments and set the tone for the series' atmospheric horror. After that came Clock Tower 2, PlayStation 96. So just 1 year later, right? Clock Tower 2, known as Clock Tower, the First Fear in Japan, further refined the formula established by its predecessor. Wow, also, can you believe the PlayStation came out in 96? Damn. That's so long ago. So Clock Tower 2 expanded on the lore of the Clock Tower universe and introduced new characters and settings. Clock Tower 2 continued to emphasize survival horror, psychological terror, and the intense pursuit of the Scissor Man, while also deepening narrative elements of the series. The third game to come out in the series was called Clock Tower Ghosthead for the PlayStation in 1998. It was also known as The Struggle Within in some regions. And this game took a more psychological approach to the series. It delved deeper into the minds of the characters, exploring themes of identity, trauma, and personal demons. Ghosthead introduced a unique gameplay mechanic where players had to manage the protagonist's mental health, adding an additional layer of psychological horror to the experience. So the fourth installment, Clock Tower 3, for the PS2 in 2002, this is where things kind of just went a little off the rails, a little bit, in my opinion, because it marked a significant departure from the traditional gameplay mechanics of the series, which is, I think, what kind of drew people in the first place. It introduced a new protagonist, Alyssa Hamilton, and shifted the focus to a more narrative-based experience. Clock Tower 3 incorporated supernatural elements and introduced, this is the big one, a combat-oriented gameplay mechanic, where Alyssa used the Athena weapon to defend herself against enemies. While it divided fans with its departure from the series' roots, Clock Tower 3 demonstrated the franchise's willingness to experiment and evolve. And I gotta be honest, quite frankly, I think maybe their willingness to experiment and evolve might have contributed to the ultimate demise of this company. Because, you know, when people are playing these games, you're playing it to get scared. Once you have the tools at hand to defend yourself, things become less scary. Just my personal two cents. And the last game in this series is not even technically a Clock Tower series. This one wasn't even developed by Human Entertainment, because Human Entertainment, like, you know, in 2000. This one was developed by Capcom for the PlayStation 2 in 2005. So that's, I think, yeah, so 3 years later. Which, actually, kind of, I never noticed that before. Huh, interesting. Because, so Clock Tower 3 came out in 2002, right? But then, Human Entertainment went bankrupt in 2000. So there was that 2 year period. So Clock Tower 3 must have been released by Sunsoft. Okay. All right, that makes sense. Okay. All right. Okay, sorry. Anyways, okay, so let's get back to Haunting Ground. While not a direct part of the Clock Tower series, it was developed by Capcom, who had bought the rights to the series and shared many similarities with the franchise. It followed the story of Fiona Belly, who found herself trapped in a castle and pursued by enemies. This one was... It's an interesting game in that it's... Some people had issues with this game, as I recall, when it first came out, because you've got just this one female character, and she's the protagonist. And there was very much kind of like a psychosexual horror kind of undertone to this whole thing that some people loved, and some people found it kind of crass. I thought it was interesting, although the gratuitous underskirt shots seemed quite unnecessary at certain moments. Anyways, okay, so as it was with the other Clock Tower series, it, you know, the protagonist found herself trapped in a castle and pursued by enemies. Enemies that apparently wanted to breed her. Again, with a psychosexual horror vibe, right? Haunting Ground incorporated the signature Clock Tower gameplay elements of evasion, hiding, and puzzle solving, while also introducing a unique panic system that affected Fiona's abilities. The game showcased the continued influence and expansion of the Clock Tower concept beyond the main series. So now that we've explored the unique gameplay mechanics and the notable installments of the Clock Tower series, I think it's time to step into the chilling and atmospheric settings that have captivated players throughout the franchise. From the imposing clock tower, mansions, and abandoned asylums, to haunted towns and eerie schools, each location in the Clock Tower games is meticulously crafted to immerse players in a world of psychological horror. So, let's venture into these sinister and foreboding realms, where each step is laden with tension and every corner hides a lurking terror. So the first main one is obviously the Clock Tower Mansion, which the series is often centered around, and it serves as a very prominent and eerie location in many of the game installments. These mansions are typically depicted as large, foreboding structures with multiple rooms, secret passages, and hidden compartments. The mansion's architecture often reflects a Gothic or Victorian style, featuring grand hallways, ornate decorations, and dimly lit corridors. The mansion becomes a labyrinth of fear, with every room and hallway holding the potential for lurking danger and unsettling secrets. Some Clock Tower games also featured abandoned asylums or psychiatric facilities as their settings. Because, you know, who doesn't find abandoned asylums or, you know, psychiatric facilities terrifying, right? The ones that come to note are like the... Well, there's a lot of them. Just look it up. I can't think of any right now. I took like this, I took these, motion sickness medication. And, it's kind of really messed with my head today. So, if this podcast goes off the rails, I'm blaming the meds. Just putting it out there. Right, so, these locations, being the asylums and abandoned psychiatric facilities, amplify the sense of dread and unease with their decaying walls, broken furniture, and remnants of past horrors. The oppressive atmosphere of an asylum creates an environment where players feel trapped, surrounded by the echoes of past suffering. The dark hallways, padded cells, and twisted experiments found within these locations contribute to the psychological terror that permeates the series. But also, the Clock Tower games also took players sometimes beyond the confines of a single location, exploring haunted towns and villages. These settings often portray desolate, fog-covered streets, dilapidated houses, and abandoned buildings. Can anyone say Silent Hill? The towns exude an atmosphere of abandonment and isolation, where darkness, or danger and darkness, can be lurking around any corner. These desolate environments amplify the feeling of being alone and vulnerable, heightening the sense of impending doom. Some installments of the Clock Tower series also introduced sinister schools or orphanages as locations. These institutions, typically shrouded in darkness and secrecy, evoke a sense of childhood fear and the unknown. The eerie classrooms, empty hallways, and unsettling dormitories create an unsettling atmosphere where the innocence of youth is juxtaposed with malevolent forces. The presence of children's belongings and traces of their past experiences further adds to the haunting ambience of these locations. There's also other locations that you visit in the games, like the Enchanted Forest or Otherworldly Realms. I found them to be not as terrifying. I mean, you know, whatever. It's just, it's a haunted forest with a lot of fog and twisted trees. I quite frankly find abandoned psychiatric facilities to be way more scary. So the atmospheric and chilling locations encountered in Clock Tower games are meticulously crafted to evoke a sense of fear, suspense, and unease. These settings, whether mansions, asylums, towns, schools, or otherworldly realms, contribute to the overall psychological horror experience. And as we immerse ourselves in the haunting settings of the Clock Tower games, it becomes clear that these environments play a pivotal role in crafting a sense of dread and immersing players in the world of psychological horror. From the decaying halls of the Clock Tower mansions to the abandoned asylums and sinister schools, these locations serve as more than mere backdrops. They become characters in their own right, actively contributing to the atmosphere of fear and unease. So let's delve a little deeper into the roles that these environments play in creating a spine-chilling sense of dread and drawing players into an immersive experience they won't soon forget. So the first one is atmosphere and ambience. The environment in Clock Tower games are meticulously designed to establish a pervasive atmosphere of dread. From the dimly lit corridors to the creaking floorboards, each detail contributes to a sense of unease. The use of subdued lighting, eerie shadows, and haunting soundscapes add layers upon layers of tension and anticipation, heightening the player's sense of vulnerability and immersion. The combination of visual and auditory elements creates an unsettling ambience that keeps players on the edge throughout their exploration. The environments in Clock Tower games often tell a story of their own. Abandoned mansions, asylums, and other locations are filled with visual cues, such as bloodstains, scattered documents, or broken objects that hint at the horrors that transpired within. These environmental details help build a rich narrative and create a sense of history and mystery, immersing players in a world with a dark and troubled past. By exploring and piecing together these clues, players deepen their understanding of the sinister events that have unfolded in these locations. The level design in the Clock Tower games is carefully crafted to maximize tension and suspense. The layout of rooms, hallways, and secret passages creates a sense of labyrinthine complexity, making players feel disoriented or trapped within the environment. The non-linear structure also encouraged exploration as players searched for essential items, clues, and escape routes. The need to carefully navigate and uncover the secrets of each location adds to the immersion, amplifying the fear of the unknown and the thrill of discovery.
And last but not least is the psychological impact that the Clock Tower games, have on us. So the environments in Clock Tower are designed to evoke psychological terror. The use of Gothic or Victorian architecture, combined with dilapidated structures and decaying aesthetics, creates an unsettling blend of beauty and decay. The contrast between the familiar and the uncanny taps into deep-rooted fears and triggers a psychological response, heightening the player's emotional engagement. The immersive environment play with the player's senses, making them feel trapped, isolated, and vulnerable, further enhancing the overall sense of dread. The role of these environments in creating a sense of dread and immersion is paramount in the Clock Tower games. Through meticulous attention to detail, atmospheric design, environmental storytelling, and interactive elements, the locations become more than just settings. They become integral components of the psychological horror experience. These immersive environments ensure that players are fully engaged in their journey, where every step forward brings them closer to the heart-pounding terror that awaits. As we continue our journey through the unsettling world of Clock Tower, there is a presence that looms over every corner, striking fear into the hearts of players. The enigmatic and relentless pursuer known as the Scissor Man. This iconic character embodies the essence of terror in the Clock Tower series, and his relentless pursuit leaves players on the edge of their seats. So, let us now delve into the mysteries surrounding the Scissor Man, unmasking his origins, motivations, and spine-chilling encounters that define the heart-pounding cat-and-mouse gameplay of Clock Tower. Excuse me, I have something in my throat. God, I hope you're asleep now, because this is really embarrassing, and I'm probably not going to edit it out, because this is going to be an hour long. Excuse me. Right, so, oh gosh, we were talking about the Scissor Man. Oh god, I hate the seasons change. Alright, so let's go into the introduction of the Scissor Man. So he is the central and the iconic character in the Clock Tower series. Like, he's the big bad. He's like the, he's basically the pyramid head of Clock Tower. He is a relentless and sadistic pursuer who strikes fear into the hearts of players. Armed with a menacing pair of large scissors, the Scissor Man embodies terror, representing the ever-present threat that looms over the protagonist's every move. So, his sole purpose is to track down and eliminate the protagonist, unleashing a relentless pursuit that keeps players on the constant edge. I feel like I say relentless way too often. Anyways, the Scissor Man's appearance is often unexpected and sudden, triggering panic and forcing players to make split-second decisions in their quest to escape his clutches. He embodies fear and helplessness, reflecting the vulnerability of the protagonist. His presence evokes a sense of powerlessness, as players must rely on their wits and resourcefulness to survive. The inability to directly combat the Scissor Man intensifies the fear, creating a constant atmosphere of dread and suspense. The origins and backstory of the Scissor Man vary across different games in the series. While his precise origins may be shrouded in mystery, the Scissor Man is often associated with tragic events, curses, or supernatural influences. Exploring the Scissorman's origins and unraveling the truth behind his existence is a captivating aspect of the Clock Tower lore. So throughout the series, he undergoes various forms and variations, from different physical appearances to altered abilities or personalities. The Scissorman's iterations keep players guessing and heighten the unpredictability of encounters. Each installment brings a fresh take on the character, adding layers of complexity and further cementing the Scissorman's status as an enduring and haunting figure. As we delve deeper into the chilling world of Clock Tower, it becomes evident that the pursuer, the Scissorman, leaves an indelible mark on players' psyche. His unyielding pursuit creates a psychological impact that amplifies the sense of fear and vulnerability. The constant presence of this formidable antagonist elicits a unique blend of terror and tension, putting players on edge as they navigate the treacherous environments. So, now let's turn our attention to the psychological impact of a relentless pursuer on the player's sense of fear and vulnerability, exploring how the Scissorman becomes a harbinger of psychological torment within the Clock Tower series. Brace yourself for a deep dive into the chilling depths of the human psyche in the face of an unrelenting menace. So, the presence of a pursuer like the Scissorman creates a constant state of heightened anxiety and tension. Knowing that he could strike at any moment, players are kept on edge, anticipating his appearance and preparing for a fight or flight response. This sustained level of psychological stress intensifies the fear factor and keeps players fully engaged in the game. Because they are unsure of his exact whereabouts or the methods they will employ to capture or harm the protagonist, this uncertainty amplifies the psychological impact, as players must constantly be vigilant and anticipate the pursuer's next move. The fear of the unknown keeps players in a perpetual state of unease. So, in the presence of a pursuer who will just come at you no matter what, it really undermines the player's sense of control and agency. Unlike traditional action-oriented games where players can fight back against their adversaries, this series emphasizes survival and evasion. You must rely on your instincts and strategy and environmental awareness to avoid confrontation with the Scissorman. This loss of control creates a profound sense of vulnerability and heightens the psychological impact as players are forced to confront their powerlessness in the face of an unstoppable force. So, obviously, the fact that he never stops coming at you, it has a profound impact on the player's decision making. So, every choice, whether it's hiding, running, or searching for an escape route, becomes a matter of life and death. The fear of making the wrong decision and falling into the clutches of the pursuer weighs heavily on players' minds, adding a layer of psychological pressure. The need for quick thinking and split-second decision-making enhances the immersive and high-stakes nature of the gameplay. And, you know, when you're always, like, on alert, you know, that can be really emotionally draining for players. The constant fear and tension and vulnerability experienced throughout the game can evoke a range of emotions, from anxiety and stress to relief and catharsis. Surviving encounters with the pursuer and successfully evading capture often results in a sense of triumph and temporary respite from the psychological torment, offering the players a cathartic release. The psychological impact of, you know, the Scissorman as a relentless pursuer is multifaceted, intertwining fear, anxiety, vulnerability, and moments of catharsis. The experience becomes an intricate dance between the pursuer and the player, heightening the emotional engagement and immersing players in a world where their fears and instincts are constantly put to the test. As we continue our exploration of the relentless pursuit of the Scissor Man, it's really important to delve into the strategies players must employ in order to survive and evade this deadly antagonist. In the face of overwhelming danger, players must rely on their wits, resourcefulness, and quick thinking to outsmart the pursuer and ensure their survival. Each encounter with the Scissor Man becomes a high-stakes game of cat and mouse, where every decision and action carries immense weight. So, let us now embark on a journey into the strategies and tactics that players must master to navigate the treacherous world of Clock Tower and escape the clutches of the Scissor Man's deadly pursuit. Get ready to uncover the survival techniques and cunning maneuvers that may mean the difference between a life and a grisly demise. So, obviously, one of the primary strategies for survival is to utilize stealth and hiding. Players must carefully navigate the environment, seeking out hiding spots, such as closets, under furniture, or behind objects to conceal themselves from the Scissor Man's prying eyes. Remaining still and quiet is crucial during these moments to avoid detection. Effective use of the hiding mechanic allows players to temporarily elude the Scissor Man and buy precious time to plan their next move. The Clock Tower games often provide interactive elements within the environment that can be utilized as distractions or hindrances to impede the pursuer's progress. Players can manipulate objects, create noise distractions, or trigger environmental traps to momentarily divert the Scissor Man's attention and create opportunities for escape. Understanding and effectively utilizing the environmental interactions is key to outsmarting the relentless pursuer. And also, resource management plays a vital role in survival. You don't get many things, so you have to carefully ration your inventory of defensive items such as weapons or defensive tools to maximize their effectiveness when confronted by the Scissor Man. Using these resources strategically and sparingly can create crucial opportunities to momentarily incapacitate or hinder the Scissor Man, giving players a chance to escape or gain an advantage. The Scissor Man's pursuit requires players to think on their feet. And here's another really major thing that's important. You've got to make really quick decisions in high-pressure situations. Whether it's choosing between multiple escape routes, deciding when to hide or run, or determining the best time to confront or avoid the pursuer. Every decision carries consequences. Players must assess the situation rapidly, weighing the risks and rewards of each choice and adapt their strategies accordingly to survive. Maintaining a keen sense of environmental awareness is essential in evading and avoiding the Scissor Man. Players must carefully observe their surroundings, noting potential escape routes, hiding spots, and interactive objects. Paying attention to the layout of the environment, detecting sound cues or visual indicators, and having a solid understanding of the level design can provide critical advantages when navigating and outmaneuvering the pursuer. Survival against the Scissor Man. I am so sorry, guys. Oh, boy. Survival against the Scissor Man often requires players to employ psychological tactics, so manipulating his behavior by creating diversions, leading them away from intended paths, or using the environment to your advantage can provide temporary respite and opportunities for escape. Understanding the AI patterns and psychological cues of the pursuer becomes instrumental in developing effective survival strategies. Mastering these survival strategies is paramount to evading the Scissor Man's deadly pursuit. Each encounter becomes a nerve-wracking test of skill and ingenuity, where the right decisions and timely executions can make all the difference. by combining stealth, resource management, quick thinking, environmental awareness, and psychological tactics, players can tilt the odds in their favor and secure their survival in the face of an unstoppable and relentless pursuer. So, as we immerse ourselves in these strategies and tactics necessary to survive the Scissorman's deadly pursuit, it's essential to shift our focus to the broader gameplay and mechanics that make the Clock Tower series a truly unique and captivating horror experience. From its innovative gameplay mechanics to its atmospheric presentation, Clock Tower delivers an unforgettable blend of tension, suspense, and immersive gameplay. So, originally I wanted to explore like the gameplay and the mechanics that makes the Clock Tower stand out in the horror genre. But a lot of it is stuff that I've already covered before. Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I've covered in the last like 50 minutes of the of this deep dive. So and I don't know if you're still awake to hear me say this, but I would also like to go more in depth into the lore of each game. So as for the first game, hold on a second, I have it on a different document. Alright, so, okay, one second, alright, so, the lore behind Clock Tower, also known as the First Sphere, basically, you're the main character, Jennifer Simpson, and you're an orphan from Granite Orphanage in Romsdalen, Norway, along with your friends, and you are adopted by this wealthy recluse named Simon Burrows. This is from the wiki, by the way, so if you want to, like, you know, yeah, and this is not my written material, I credit wiki. clocktower.fandom.com. Thank you. just because they put it so much more succinctly than I could ever do it. The mansion is known as the Clock Tower, named after its most predominant feature, and the girls are eager to live in their new home. The game immediately begins with the five of them walking towards the Barrows mansion. Mary and the girls settle in the main foyer. Mary instructs them to wait there in the foyer and leaves to find Mr. Burrows, but she takes an unusually long time. Jennifer offers to investigate, but upon leaving the room, a scream is heard from the main foyer. Jennifer returns to find the lights are off and the girls are missing. Unnerved, Jennifer begins searching the rest of the mansion. She soon finds herself being stalked after finding either Laura or Anne killed by a murderous little boy with deformed features, wielding a giant pair of scissors. Laura's corpse would be found hanged at the bathtub or found in a suit of armor in the second living room if the player dares to click on it, while Anne would die either by being impaled through a stained glass ceiling, drowning in the pool of the courtyard, or being impaled through a window in Mary's office. The boy is Bobby Burrows, the Scissorman, who will be Jennifer's main stalker and the tormentor for the rest of the game. So, while exploring the mansion, Jennifer will need to find out Mary's true evil intentions. Now remember who Mary is? She's the teacher who is escorted to the mansion of a wealthy recluse named Simon Burrows. Anyways, so so she has to find out Mary's what Mary is up to. So in order to do so, Jennifer has to find the key to the West Wing area. Why is this written? This is so precise. Okay. It's actually, so when the game starts, and this is, I was waiting for the synopsis to say, but when you start the game, you don't know that Mary's is a burrow. Burrows. Yeah. So that's supposed to be like, ooh, plot twist. And so there's multiple endings to this game, to the first one. And it's not known which ending is canon, but I will let you guys, I will read all of the endings because, I don't think you guys are going to be playing this game anytime soon. I don't know if there's any ports for Clock Tower. Let me look that up, actually. Okay, so it is for the PlayStation. But who still has a PlayStation? Let's be honest here. I think there's an emulator. Really quickly, let me see if this is actually a thing. No, this is... Oh, wait, nope. Hold on a second. Sorry, guys. Oh, my. This is actually... There is a ROM for it. That's amazing. Second, really quickly. So, interesting. So, I'm trying to get the game started, but I don't. I'm pressing all of the, Anyways, if you do want to play the game, it's on retrogames.cc. It's probably very illegal. I do not advocate this. But if you want to play, it's here. Anyways. But you're probably not going to play, because I couldn't even get the game started. But also, I could just be stupid. Anyway, so let's go back to the endings. So, here is the ending S tier, which is... probably, yeah, that's probably the ending that you have to get multiple times, because this is not a familiar ending to me. Upon reaching the top of the clock tower, Jennifer finds Anne and Laura lying down on the floor unconscious. As Bobby, Scissor Man, shows up, ready to strike at Jennifer, she flips the two switches on the tower. Bobby hears the bells ringing, and unable to bear the sound, falls into the gears of the tower below. After he dies, Jennifer walks over to Anne/Laura, only to hear Mary tell Jennifer from the shadows what a terrible daughter she's been. She proceeds to run after Jennifer, choking her from behind and triggering a panic. Suddenly, if the player succeeds, a flock of crows, including the one Jennifer saved earlier, come out and begin to peck at Mary, pushing her over the edge of the tower entrance. Jennifer then proceeds to wake up Anne/Laura as they proceed outside of the tower, watching as the rain stops and the sun rises in the distance. This ending is obtained by This ending is obtained by only seeing Anne or Laura die, seeing Lottie die, slash learning about the clock tower switches, freeing the crows, seeing Walter's corpse, and choosing the third floor on the elevator. Jennifer and Anne slash Laura were the survivors of the incident. This ending is non-canon as the sequel reveals that Jennifer and Edward were the only survivors of the incident. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. You know what? I don't want to spoil this game for you guys anymore. Because there, if you can somehow get the game to work, then you should play it. It's a really fun game. That's all I'm really going to say on the matter. Let me take a look at my script and see if there's anything else that I wanted to talk about. Alright, so actually, you know what? Yeah. Let's talk about the influence that this game has had. So I'm going to go back into my script now. As we near the conclusion of our exploration into the eerie and captivating world of Clock Tower, it's crucial to reflect on the lasting legacy and profound impact this series has had on the gaming landscape. In this segment, we delve into the influence of Clock Tower and its enduring significance within the realm of horror gaming. From its innovative gameplay mechanics to its chilling narratives, Clock Tower has left an indelible mark on the genre, shaping the way we approach and experience horror in interactive entertainment. So let's unravel the legacy and impact of the Clock Tower, exploring its influence on subsequent games, its dedicated fan base, and its enduring reputation as a hallmark of psychological horror. So, the original Clock Tower on the Super Famicom is often credited as one of the first pioneers, as one of the pioneers of survival horror genre. It introduced gameplay mechanics centered around evading and hiding from a pursuer, emphasizing resource management and psychological tension over direct combat. This innovative approach to horror gaming laid the foundation for subsequent titles in the genre, inspiring games like Resident Evil and Silent Hill, which are like the two biggest horror franchises. Sorry, if you guys hear anything in the background, that's my stomach. It's almost lunchtime. Hopefully I'll be able to post this soon. Oh my god, it's going on an hour. Ah, okay. Let's see. So, the Clock Tower's gameplay mechanics, which, you know, relied heavily on stealth and evasion rather than direct confrontation, really influenced a lot of other, like, more current stealth-based horror games like Outlast and Amnesia: The Dark Descent. Both really great games. Neither of them I finished because, Amnesia made me sick and Outlast was too scary. But I did make it pretty far into Outlast, if I recall. Clock Tower, with the narrative branching and the player choices, you could see that in games like Until Dawn and Detroit Become Human, where players' decisions have really far-reaching implications. Clock Tower has garnered a dedicated cult following over the years, and if you look on YouTube, there are a bunch of videos that do way better deep dives than I do. Like, I just pulled data from various internet sources, and I cobbled it all together in ChatGPT. And so, like, if I had to write everything, like, from what I knew of the game, it would just be Scissor Man, scary, has giant pair of scissors, will stab you or cut you or impale you, play this game. But also that would have made like a 5-minute long audio, if that. So but yeah, so if you are interested in this game and the lore, because the lore goes really deep, but I've only played Clock Tower 1. I might have played 2 or 3, I don't remember. I might have played 2. 2 sounds familiar, but it's been such a long time. And also, yeah. Let me see. So, I mean, you know, like, there are great horror, psychological horror games that are out right now. Like I mentioned, Outlast. Alien Isolation is also a really good one. I have the game. I started it. I can't get out of a certain area because an alien is stalking me. And I do like that the game makes you emphasize, like, stealth over, like, just beating the shit out of it with, like, a monkey wrench or a flamethrower. Let's see. Go through my script. I think it's almost done. I repeat a lot of stuff here. Yes. So, as we bid farewell. So, yeah, I'm ending this because it's an hour long now. So, as we bid farewell to the haunting corridors and the echoing chimes of the Clock Tower series, let us remember the terror and suspense it has instilled in us. Let us honor its contributions to the horror gaming genre, its innovation, and its ability to captivate players with its atmospheric environments, unforgettable characters, and branching narratives. Clock Tower stands as a testament to the power of interactive storytelling, where every decision, every moment of fear, and every pulse-pounding escape is etched into our memories. May the legacy of Clock Tower continue to resonate in the dark recesses of the gaming world, reminding us that true horror lies not only in what we see, but also in what lurks just beyond our reach. Thank you for joining me on this journey into the realm of Clock Tower, and may your nights be free from the haunting echoes of the Scissor Man's shears. Until we meet again, remember to keep an eye over your shoulder and tread cautiously into the shadows. Goodbye, and beware.